What I want to do for the little bit of private group talk is I think about Dr. Holstead's situation and how that applies to everybody. And what struck me mostly is the characteristics that he's being an example of, the courage and staying true to himself and to the principles that most of the other doctors have abandoned.
Yeah.
And how, what lesson you see everybody taking from that, you know, and how to support each other in doing that.
Well, the first thing is you always, a big part of this game that's being played on humanity right now is the hypnotism. And what they want us to believe is that we are all alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that we're isolated and we don't have any support. No one else agrees with us. So if you turn on the TV, that's what they keep telling you.
All 8 billion of us are totally alone.
All the popular people, the beautiful people in Hollywood, they love vaccines and you're crazy. And if you don't think they're great and you're all alone.
Yeah.
You know, you're just on the fringe and you're all alone. And that is their first lie. The vast majority of people, at least on the COVID vaccines, have had a major wake up call recently.
Right.
And are refusing them. They are even lying to us about the saturation of the vaccines in the population. Real numbers are coming in at like somewhere closer to 40% than the 60 to 70 they're telling us.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're lying about that. And then here we've got a huge contingent of people that have gotten one or even two or even three vaccines that are saying, that's it. This stuff is horrible. It is responsible. And I know it's responsible for what happened to me. And I'm not going to do the vaccine passport, even if I could qualify for one. Right. I've seen these protests where the vaccinated people are burning their vaccine passports in the streets, in big piles, because they're saying, you know what? I see where this is going. And I'm not going there with it. Even if this vaccine has killed me, ultimately, I'm not going to participate in this evil plot. So we're in the majority.
It's interesting how that same tactic to say that you're alone, you can see it in so many different ways. Trudeau is applying it in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, when he was talking about the trucker convoys, he was saying this is a tiny fringe element that doesn't represent Canadians and all of you guys.
Canadian values.
Canadian
values. They got the Canadian flags all over.
And to really explain it, he said the real Canadians have been there for each other.
Oh,
and that should clear up everything.
Yeah, because these truckers were not doing something sacrificial.
No, they were not there.
To protect freedom. They weren't there to protect all Canadians from freedom.
Exactly. They were trying to spread conspiracy theories. And
well, they were trying to spread COVID.
Exactly.
They were not vaccinated.
Prevent people from going to work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So in this case, they could say the same thing.
Yeah. And so that's the spell that that's one of the spells being broken by this obscene warp speed program with where pharma is being, the mask is coming off.
Yeah.
And so there's something very encouraging about that.
It's very encouraging. It looks like their strategy when they realize the mask is off is just to use force.
Well, yeah, that's just all they have through. Left. And then the force itself rips the rest of the mask off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we're just tyrannical freaks wanting to inject people to hurt them, you know.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, all the old conspiracy theories about genocide and all this become like people go, "Oh no, that's actually true."
Yeah. So what they're doing now?
Laugh about it, but
they're thinking, "What can we distract them with? How about nuclear war?"
Nuclear war. Yeah, we'll just go there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and what if in their calculation, it's sort of like, we wanted to kill more people with these vaccines and they're not accepting them. It's not as easy as we thought.
Yeah, it's so stressful to not see them accepting it.
Exactly. So I guess we're going to have to go to plan B, which is to exterminate them with nuclear weapons. I mean, maybe that's really what's going on in their heads.
It could be. It's a good excuse. I mean, because it puts them behind schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. We're wrecking their little calendar.
So what is to learn from Dr. Holstead's experience relating to that?
That it's time to fight back. Now, Dr. Holstead was the first person that brought to my attention the idea even that, hey, wait a minute, when a state legislature or a governor or a president signs an order mandating some sort of drug.
Mm-hmm.
They're practicing medicine.
Now, is that Dr. Halstead who thought of that, or you?
Dr. Halstead first pointed it out.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm there going, hey, wait a minute. Let me think about this. So I'm looking up the codes that govern the practice of medicine. Yes, it includes prescribing any kind of drug.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, and this is an injectable formally classified under our laws as unavoidably unsafe drug. And I'm looking at the penalties for prescribing a drug. And I'm looking everywhere in these vaccine mandate laws, particularly those in California, but also the mandates coming out of DC,
sure.
Federal mandates. And I'm not seeing any carve-out exception that says, oh, and by the way,
you can practice medicine without a license as long as...
If you're the president or a state legislature or whatever, you can practice medicine without... There's no carve-out.
So this is an organization.
Now makes a criminal act a non-criminal act.
This is an organization practicing medicine without a license.
Which is not... Organizations cannot be granted a license to practice medicine, nor have they been. I mean, it's not as if they've been granted...
So this applies to the medical board and the state legislature.
Only a qualified individual human being who has had the appropriate training is allowed to actually practice medicine. And prescribing a drug is the practice of medicine.
So what did that tell you that you could do?
Oh, it opened up a whole different approach in terms of a harm. So you could have a criminal wrong committed against you. Maybe someone bashed you over the head. Maybe, you know, so that would be assault. That's a criminal
act. Okay.
Maybe you didn't have enough evidence to actually get charges brought. Or maybe they were brought, but the prosecutor didn't prove his case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
That does not foreclose the opportunity to go into a civil court. Mm-hmm. And prove beyond a preponderance of the evidence, show by a preponderance of the evidence that that person actually did commit a criminal act.
Right.
And in this case, it's like beyond a reasonable doubt that our state legislatures have been practicing medicine without license for some time now, and that the California State Medical Board has been aiding and abetting that practice of medicine without a license.
But you've got to do
very
both.
Codes which the medical board is charged with enforcing.
And you've got to approach that from
and aiding and abetting the violation of.
You've got to approach that from the civil level, because to do it from the criminal level, you would need a
You'd need an honest prosecutor.
And that's what I'm saying, yeah. And
they're kind of far and few between.
Not too many of those, yeah. But the civil, what you need is an honest judge.
Well, there are still some left in some of these local county jurisdictions, you know.
Right.
A Superior Court of Sutter County appears to be a good one. There are a few other I've got in mind.
Okay.
So we just need just one plaintiff on the list.
Have your choice of where to file?
Yes, because but it's got to be like that would be our lead plaintiff. All the other ones are going to be all over the state.
Okay.
They'll try and change venue. They'll try everything. They'll try dismissing. They'll try everything.
Right.
But the win here is to get in on a slam dunk sort of, before they get a chance to remove it and move it around, the judge has already signed an injunction, because that injunction will follow the case.
Okay.
It'll stick with the case. Not like, if they get a change of venue, it dissolves the injunction.
So what kind of injunction are you asking for?
To stop the criminal behavior, which means the enforcement of any vaccine mandate laws, which were actually, in fact, violations of the criminal.
And they can't do the trick like is happening, you know, in most states where the government says, okay, we won't do the mandates, but every private business in the whole state can. You're asking them to actually...
No, because that would also be the prescribing of a drug. Your employees. That's also a criminal act.
Wow. So there's a lot of people.
You own a business and you've got 100 people working there, and you go, you know, I want to do what the federal government says, and I want to or even though the federal government's not telling me I have to do this, I just want all my employees vaccinated because nobody knows this, but I got a Swiss bank account with a, you know, $1 billion in it coming in from pharma, whatever the reason is.
Right.
So they say, I want to do this. Like, you can't work here unless you're vaccinated. That is a person practicing medicine without that business owner or CEO or whoever makes that order is practicing medicine without a license.
What about not letting customers in without a vaccine proof?
I'm going to go out of business.
But I mean, can your injunction ask for that to be banned?
That can be part of the ultimate relief that we're asking for you, but you have to do this in stages.
Right.
You have to go after the bite that you can get. And the violation of criminal law is so clear cut.
Okay.
And all we're asking for is an injunction that says, hey, stop breaking criminal law.
And that's to the medical boards.
We can prove they're doing that right now. It's hurting people. We can prove that it's hurting people. We need that to stop like right away because this is an emergency.
And that's to the medical boards and the legislature both?
Mm-hmm. Well, the actual defendants will be the medical board, but we're also challenging the enforceability of the legislature's actions in passing these vaccine mandate laws.
Right. It's going to be exciting to see what happens.
It'll be a powder keg event, but
Yeah, I would imagine you'd expect some resistance.
I'm not
going to
lie down and wait for someone else to do this, you know?
Yeah, that's what almost everybody ends up doing, huh?
Yeah, somebody out there is probably smarter than me and more experienced and better at these types of things. And you know what? Maybe there is, but they're not doing anything yet, are they? So somebody's
exactly,
gotta do it.
Exactly.
I'll head it up. And even if I've got to be self-representing on this, as a co-plaintiff to Dr. Halstead and these doctors, I have standing as an injured party, affected party by these things. So I'm an interested party, and I as a co-plaintiff, I can go in and lay my case down, and then the other co-plaintiffs, if they don't know how to do this type of thing in a courtroom, can simply say, "Your Honor, I concur."
Yeah, good.
So we could do this without, you know, millions of dollars in legal fees.
Right.
In other words.
Are you looking for more co-plaintiffs?
Oh, absolutely. Any doctors in the state of California that have been harassed, threatened, or currently on the having records requisitioned for no reason other than they've written medical exemptions, you need to make sure that you go to thecontrolgroup.org and write to me and let me know what position you're in so that we can assess whether or not it would be to your advantage to join our lawsuit.
Okay. And ultimately, this can be done in all the other states too, right?
That's what we would want to do, is build a successful model for the state of California, because every state has these same criminal laws that make it a criminal act to practice medicine without a license.
Funny, nobody noticed that before.
I know. And I was looking everywhere this past couple of years. I mean, I'm the one that did the control group study. I'm the one that wanted to go do the federal suit and got that started. And
isn't it amazing how you can go years or decades without seeing something
right there
obvious
in front of my face? Yeah, you know, and
makes
and
you wonder how much else is.
The elephant everything in the room that you're so used to looking at that
I know
you just figure it's part of the structure. Hey, wait a minute.
That was
this in here?
Decoration or something.
Well, you don't stop and go, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that what's crushing children under its feet?
Yeah. Excuse me for asking, but yeah, it seems.
And look at that big crap it's taking in the living room.
Yeah. And everybody else says, you can't talk about that.
It's impolite to mention the elephant.
Exactly. We need to change the subject.
Yeah.
It's just like in The Emperor's New Clothes, right?
Yeah.
Great
it's
story.
So much like that. There's so many parables. And
everybody's looking at the naked emperor. Everybody's looking at a healthcare system that's killing everybody. Everybody's looking at representatives, in quotes, that only represent evil.
And, well, yeah, and still calling it healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare. That's an amazing term for it.
How did you get that name?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm murdering you. And they'll call me an angel. Like, what? That's the angel stabber lady. No,
there is
not healthcare.
Real healthcare is actually a valid concept. It's just that's not really it.
It's not what they're providing us.
Yeah. And like you said before, there are people working on projects to bring it back.
Well, you know, it's like all these bills they pass, you know, they always have the name is the opposite. So all you got to do, if you want to know what the bill's about before you even start to read it,
just reverse
it. Look at the name of it, and the outcome is the opposite of the name.
The Freedom and Prosperity and Kindness Act or something.
Yeah, it means grinding poverty, tyranny, slavery, and early death.
We have to go, but I wanted to ask you one thing that brings up is that in all levels of government, up to and including federal and probably international, but certainly federal in this country, how can any honest so-called representative, you know, a congressperson, for example, vote in favor of a bill that has thousands of pages that they get a day before the vote is due? Wouldn't they all have to vote no? That means they're all dishonest.
I've seen estimates of the swamp of what, and we're not just talking about like swamp, not good people. We're talking people that belong hanging from a rope for treason if the law were actually applied to them.
Right.
And I've seen estimates that it's well over 98% of all of our representatives, both state and federal.
But what it brings up is if there's 2 out of 100 that are not part of that, they would have to vote honestly no on every bill unless it was really simple and they had time to understand it.
Well, and there are those rare types. I mean, they're just far and few between.
Ron Paul did that.
He was one. His son, close, not so much.
No, his son
got vaccinated on TV to try and tell people how wonderful and safe
it's,
that is.
You know, it's honestly really hard for doctors to comprehend that what they learned in medical school could be that far off.
From the truth.
From the truth. You know, the safe and effective, they hear the really impressive drug dealers just telling them that it's true over and over and over. And so many of them, you know, some of these good doctors that are against the COVID vaccine, they say, but I got all my other vaccines and I'm certainly not anti-vax, you know, and people like McCullough. And
people, it's the entry gate. Like, I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
No.
But this one vaccine, you know,
that's what a lot of good ones are saying.
And it's just this one vaccine that's no good. Well, I know better. They're all bad.
Yeah. And a lot of these technologies, advanced technologies that were invented, should never have been invented. I mean, mRNA, for an example, there's no good use for it.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah. But, you know, these things are going to exist. They do exist.
Yeah.
It's just not correct for us to have to pay for it or for it to not be criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Engage in these activities.
The motivation to invent those things would go down somewhat if it was illegal.
If it was illegal and it didn't even get you high.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's like, you know, you're going to inject me with something's going to kill me. At least, can I feel good while I'm dying? No. No, you're going to be really a lot of pain.
No, it's maximum suffering.
Yeah.
So, well, hopefully everybody's going to support what you're doing. And I think one of the big elements is to encourage people not to feel that they're helpless.
Yeah. You can kill the bear. We can kill the bear.
Yeah.
We can stop that thing that's coming at us.
Right.
Turn and face it down. And if it's a big giant grizzly bear, we can take it out and stop it.
Yeah. We're not talking about the necessity of physical violence either.
No,
because that's what they really want everybody to go into to prove that everyone's
insane. Just pushing paper. We can do it in a civil manner.
Right, right. Incredible.
And, you know, this isn't to make anyone suffer for these crimes. This
is
to stop these crimes.
That's totally irrelevant. People get off track and think, wow, we're going to send these people to hell forever. And a lot of people misunderstand. That's not the point. It's to stop, like Deborah Tavares says on her site, stopthecrime.net.
Stop these crimes.
That's good enough.
And improve mankind's lot, lessen mankind's suffering while they're on earth.
Yeah. In other words, back to normal.
Yeah.
It's been forgotten.
Life without these interferences can be painful and challenging enough.
Yeah.
But this other stuff, they're trying to create a hell on earth.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. It needs to be reversed now.
Yeah.
So thank you. That was great. And
thank you, Richard, so much.
We'll see you shortly for the next show.
Okay.
And then we'll give you the archives to show to 8 billion people if possible.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, see ya.